If you like what you see, please like and share the video. Subscribe to the channel and hit all the notifications. If you'd like to support this channel through a one-time offering, which unfortunately is not tax-deductible, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees as of the recording of this video are Gennaro Castellon, Matthew Gulkey, who said, "Thanks for sifting through these weedy topics." Patrice, who said, "I just wanted to say thank you for your clear and concise content. I've enjoyed all your videos and have shared many of them with my non and fallen away Catholics. I appreciate your style." Christ is King, who said, "Thanks for the clear and concise explanation. You always back up what you say with actual documents, unlike so many who just seem to share their opinions." And Adam Sullis. "If you buy a coffee, I will mention your name on the next video. Buy three or more, I will also read your comments up to three sentences, as long as they are not out of line. If you have bought me a coffee and I didn't mention you, that's because it was done after the recording of this video, and rest assured, you will be mentioned in the next video. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that as well is in the description." At the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD, Emperor Marcion asked the Patriarch of Jerusalem to bring the relics of Mary to Constantinople to be enshrined in the capital. The Patriarch explained to the Emperor that there were no relics of Mary, and that Mary had died in the presence of the Apostles, but her tomb, when opened later, was found empty, and so the Apostles concluded that the body was taken up into heaven. August 15th is the Feast of the Assumption of Mary. The belief that at the end of her life, the Blessed Virgin Mary was taken up to heaven, body and soul. But why do Catholics believe this? And is it in the Bible? In 1950, Pope Pius XII declared as a dogma, the highest level of doctrine, which must be believed by all the faithful, quote, "By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma, that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory." This was no mere invention by the Catholic Church. Orthodox Christians, for the most part, believe this, and they've been separated from the Catholic Church for 1,000 years. But more importantly, we can trace this belief to the early Church. In Pseudo Melito, written in 300 AD, we read, "It therefore might come to pass, by the power of your grace, it has appeared right to us, your servants, that as you, having overcome death, do reign in glory, so should you raise up the body of your mother and take her with you, rejoicing into heaven." Saint Epiphanius in 350 AD writes, "Like the bodies of the saints, however, she has been led in honor for her character and understanding, and if I should say anything more in her praise, she is like Elijah, who was virgin from his mother's womb, also remained so, and was taken up, but has not seen death." We also see the Assumption of Mary in a heterodox work dated to the 3rd, perhaps even the 2nd century, called The Repose of Mary. Now, most Protestants will object to the Assumption of Mary because it is not explicitly taught in the Bible. Well, not everything is in the Bible, and we are to hold fast to the traditions handed to us both written and oral, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. And this is part of the oral tradition. However, it may not be explicitly taught in Scripture, but it is not contrary to Scripture. In other words, Scripture does not say Mary was not assumed into heaven, or Mary died, was buried here, and her body remains here to this day. and we do have confirmation in the Bible that such a thing is possible. Scripture recounts that both Enoch and Elijah were taken up to heaven, body and soul, Genesis 5:24. And he, Enoch, walked with God and was seen no more, because God took him. 2 Kings 2:11. Behold, a fiery chariot and fiery horses parted them both asunder, and Elias went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But I say, with a proper understanding of typology, the Bible does teach the Assumption of Mary in a rather explicit way. The early church fathers say there exists a parallel between the Ark of the Old Covenant and the Virgin Mary. Saint Hippolytus wrote in 236 A.D., "At that time the Savior coming from the Virgin, the Ark, brought forth his own body into the world from that Ark." Saint Ambrose wrote in 397, "The prophet David danced before the Ark. Now what else should we say? The Ark was but Holy Mary." St. Athanasius in the 4th century wrote, "O noble Virgin, truly you are greater than any other greatness. O Ark of the Covenant, clothed with purity instead of gold, you are the Ark in which was found the golden vessel containing the true manna." But why did the early church fathers see this parallel between the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Ark of the Old Covenant? Well, the Ark contained the Ten Commandments, the manna from heaven, and the staff of Aaron. These things represent Christ, because he is the fulfillment of the law, the true bread that came down from heaven, and the high priest forever. These things that represent Christ were in the Ark of the Covenant, and Jesus was in Mary. Therefore, Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. There also exists in Scripture a typology that shows this parallel between the Ark of the Old Covenant and Mary. When King David sees the Ark brought to him, he says, "Who am I that the Ark of the Lord should come to me?" When Mary visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, "And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" David leaps for joy before the Ark when it was brought into Jerusalem. John the Baptist leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb when Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant, comes into his presence. David ordered the Ark to be taken into the hill country of Judea, where it remained in the household of Obed-Edom for 3 months. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. With all this symbolism in mind, let's look at a verse in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11:19. "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of his covenant was seen within his temple." The Apostle John saw the Ark of his covenant in the temple in heaven. This is present tense, the Ark of his, Christ's, covenant. It's the Ark of the current covenant, not the old covenant. And the Ark, that which contained the new covenant, our Lord Jesus Christ, was Mary's body, not her soul. So the Apostle John saw Mary in her body in heaven. Now, I personally find this to be fairly solid biblical evidence for the bodily assumption of Mary into heaven, because the comparison of Mary to the Ark of the Old Covenant, thus establishing her as the Ark of the New Covenant, makes sense and is logical. And as I stated, the verse is clearly referring to the New Covenant, not the Old. So it can't be referring to the box that the Hebrews carried around. Now, many Protestants will point out that there is silence on the Assumption of Mary in the early church writings until about the 4th or 5th century, with the exception of heterodox texts, concluding it was therefore made up around that time. Well, first of all, just because it wasn't talked about much in the early centuries doesn't mean it wasn't believed. If that's their criteria, then they have a massive problem with their doctrines. And does that mean that they are willing to accept the many Catholic doctrines that are testified to in the early centuries preceding Constantine, like the real presence, the fact that the church was governed by bishops who had real authority, the primacy of the Bishop of Rome over all bishops, Mary's perpetual virginity, the existence of what the church now calls purgatory, the confession and forgiveness of sins by a bishop or priest, the liturgical nature of worship, etc., etc.? No, they will say they go by the Bible. Well, I just gave biblical evidence for the Assumption of Mary that is stronger than many key Protestant doctrines. But the reality is, Catholics believe in the Assumption of Mary because the Pope has infallibly declared it to be true, Matthew 16:18 and 19. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This authority of the successor of Peter to infallibly declare doctrine was recognized by the early church. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, around the year 180, writes of the Church of Rome, over which Peter and his papal successors preside, quote, "With that church, because of its superior origin, all the churches must agree, that is, all the faithful in the whole world, and it is in her that the faithful everywhere have maintained the apostolic tradition." Cyprian of Carthage wrote in 251 AD, "If someone does not hold fast to this unity of Peter, can he imagine that he still holds the faith? If he should desert the chair of Peter upon whom the church was built, can he still be confident that he is in the church?" Now, this does not mean that everything the Pope says, even officially and on faith of morals, is infallible, and he cannot make up doctrine. What he declares must be found in Scripture and or tradition. And as I demonstrated, this one can be found in both. Now, I don't want to go into how all of this works, but suffice it to say that the statement by Pius XII on the Assumption of Mary is an infallible statement from one of Peter's successors. So, in other words, we believe in the Assumption of Mary because the Holy Spirit revealed it in the manner that both Scripture and tradition say He will, through Christ's Church, which is the Catholic Church. Until my next video, God bless.